The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, it's VBS week, or the end of VBS week, and I think it was Mike who said, I don't know if our bodies could take it. I don't know if you're, man, I just feel worn out, and I know a lot of y'all do too. But VBS was wonderful this week. We had a great time. I had a wonderful time just hanging out and enjoying getting to know more about God. And I got to be honest, as we started reading through Vacation Bible School stuff, the whole theme of Vacation Bible School this year was kind of following the life of Peter. And it was all the different things that happened with Peter, the twists and turns that came in Peter's life, and how he still followed God. And so I started reading through the life of Peter just with the kids as they were reading through it. I kind of wanted to read through. And so I was reading different accounts of Peter's story and just reading about Peter. And I came across this passage in Mark, and it was the resurrection account, but Peter's name was mentioned specifically. It's in Mark chapter 16. Verses 4 through 7, Mark says this, "And looking up, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away, for it was extremely large. Then entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, 'Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See where they placed his body. But go tell the disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you.'" And not an unusual account, but there was one part of it that stood out to me. And y'all ever get fixated on stuff? You know what I mean? Like some one thing just grips you and you can't get past it. That was this passage of scripture. As I read it, I started to figure out why, of all the things after the resurrection, of everything that Jesus wanted to communicate, that this angel was there to do, why one phrase? And the one phrase was, "And Peter." Why "and Peter"? I mean, if I'm going to talk to the disciples, hey, listen, go tell the boys I'm going to meet him in Galilee, right? Go tell the 11, because you remember Judas. We don't talk about Judas anymore. So go tell the 11. Or go tell Peter and the disciples, because after all, who was the leader of the disciples? Peter was kind of the leader by default. He was the one who always stepped up and talked, even when he shouldn't have. He was the one who always drew his sword when he should have kept it away. Peter was always the leader. So like, why is Peter the footnote? Why is he the add-on, the tag line? And it really got me, because of all the ways that this angel could have communicated the message of, hey, listen, go and get my followers and meet me in Galilee. He doesn't say that. He says, go get everybody and Peter. And that just struck me. Why? So I was like, all right, well, maybe there's more to the story. And so I started reading what happened after the resurrection. And I started to look at what happened to Peter after the resurrection, which led me over to John chapter 21. And this was one of the stories that they went through this week in Bible school. "Now, when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you caught.' So Simon went on board and hauled the nets ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Although there were so many, the nets were not torn. Then Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.'" Picking up in verse 14, "This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then feed my lambs.' Again, he said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then take care of my sheep.' A third time, he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Now, Peter was hurt because he asked him three times, 'Do you love me?' He said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Then feed my sheep.'" When this story started, it started in verse number 9. And it was this phrase in verse number 9 that's talked about a charcoal fire. Now, does y'all ever get like reminiscent about smells? Y'all know what I mean by like that? We've got one thing of soap in our house that every time I wash my hands with it, I walk around like this. Because for whatever reason, that one bar of soap that we use reminds me of a vacation we had. And I love the smell of that soap. Or like this. I keep a bar of Surf Wax on my dresser. If you don't know what Surf Wax is, you put it on your surfboard and it keeps you from like sliding off. You're like, you live in Louisiana. Why in the world do you keep Surf Wax on your dresser? Because every once in a while, I like to pick it up and I like to smell it. Man, it's automatic. I'm right back on FAs. I'm on my favorite break. I'm right there at the beach. The sun's out. Everything's perfect. And that one smell just brings back memories. For our wedding day, I bought Kelsey a thing of perfume. Kelsey wears that perfume on special occasions. Why? To remember our wedding day. To make me think back to that day. Maybe it's a food. Y'all ever have like a certain food that when you smell it, it brings back a memory? Or these different things. But verse number 9 tells us that Jesus was sitting at a charcoal fire. Now, when I say a charcoal fire, y'all know what charcoal smells like? Can you like it just saying that? Can you like picture it? Not picture it, but like smell it? Anybody? Yeah. Charcoal fire has a very distinct smell. And so I think that really what happened is that Jesus wanted Peter to remember. Because there's one other place that only one other place in all of Scripture a charcoal fire is mentioned. Do y'all know that? That's your knowledge for the day. You can take that home and nothing. That's all you have to remember. There's only one other place in all of Scripture that the phrase a charcoal fire is used. Anybody guess where it was? It's in your notes, so we'll just jump there. It's in John chapter 18, verses 17 and 18. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "Are you also one of this man's disciples?" And he said, "I am not." The servant and the officers made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing there warming themselves. And Peter was standing there warming himself also. The only other time a charcoal fire is ever mentioned in Scripture is the denial of Peter. Can you imagine being Peter? The last time you smelled a charcoal fire, you just blew it massively and you denied your Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden you get out, you run to the shore. He's sitting at the beach and he's got the fish and he's got that charcoal fire. And all of a sudden that first whiff of charcoal hits your nose. Oh, man. Yeah, last time I was around one of these, Jesus, it was bad. Man, I blew it. I just blew it. But I wonder if there's not more to the story than that. Because I think we all know that story. And probably the most genuine thing would be to say this. The reason Jesus asked Peter 3 times if you love him is because Peter denied him 3 times. And there's this whole rule of three that you find throughout Scripture. But I wonder if it wasn't to remind Peter of so much more. Not just to remind Peter of his mistakes, of the denial, but of all that Jesus was. Of his grace, of his mercy on Peter's life, of how Peter had blown it so massively, and yet here was Jesus sitting wanting to have breakfast. See, I think a lot of times, for me, we always focus on the denial. But what if it wasn't about the denial? What if Jesus wanted Peter to remember all the times he had, the good and the bad, but then here he is ready to have breakfast with you again. After all the twists and turns that Peter had gone through, here's Jesus saying, "Bring some fish. Let's eat together, man. We got a lot to talk about." And then I got to thinking some more because I just can't stop thinking sometimes. And really, chapter 21 doesn't start with a charcoal fire. It actually starts with a miracle. Any of my kids from VBS this week, what was the miracle that happened in John 21? Ivan, what you got, man? Caught a bunch of fish. caught so many fish. The Bible says it was 153 large fish, but it was so many fish that they couldn't get them in with just like normal people. They had to like bring other boats and maneuver their nets and drag their nets to shore and drag the fish on shore. And that happens one other time in Scripture. Anybody know where it is? I haven't paid attention so good. It was the very first time Peter met Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, it says this. One day while they were standing at the lake of Gennesaret, should have read that one earlier. The people were crowding around him to listen to the word of God. And he saw on the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put it out a little bit offshore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down my nets." When he had done this, they caught such a large number that their fishing nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in another boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished by the catch of fish that they had taken. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. See, I can't help but think that when Jesus comes to this thing, he doesn't start with a charcoal fire. That's not the very first thing Simon smells. The very first thing that Simon experiences is the miracle that was all the way back to the very first time he met Jesus. Almost identical, these two miracles. And so I wonder if Jesus wanted Simon to remember something different. If he wanted to remember that when I'm obedient to Jesus, everything in life makes sense. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, if things don't work better than the way they are right now. And so many things about this verse struck me. For one, the fact that Simon, their nets were washed. Y'all know what that means? They were done. All the lures were put back up in the tackle box the way they were supposed to go. Everything was done. The day of fishing had been had. They didn't catch anything. They were done. They were going home. Y'all been there? Almost every time I go out on Caddo Lake. Not going to get me twice. Every time I go out on Caddo Lake, man, I fish, I'm done. I'm ready to pack up and go home, and I got to be careful who I take with me, because if I take Kelsey or Nora, we're not going home until they've caught the biggest fish. And so, like, I'm done, though. That's where Simon and his brothers and James and John's, all their companions, the people who are out fishing, they washed their nets, they were done. But something about Jesus, there was something about this guy that this normal, ordinary fisherman realized, this guy's spectacular. Yeah, we're done. Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, I'm exhausted. Yeah, I've caught nothing all night. But if you say the word, I'll let down my nets. If you command me, Jesus, I'll do it. And he does it. It's this fearless obedience that comes from out of nowhere in Peter's life. And I wonder if that's not what Jesus wanted him to remember, is not the fire, not the denial, but the fearless obedience that Peter once had for Jesus. In the midst of exhaustion and tiredness and depression and just everything going wrong, if he didn't want Peter to remember, "Hey, listen, Peter, there was a time in your life when even after a hard night fishing of catching nothing, you would still let down your nets just because I said so." Or even more important, verse 11. Go back and read verse 11 again. These guys didn't say, hey, listen, you know what? This guy's pretty amazing. We caught a lot of fish. We're going to go fishmen. Great. Hey, listen, Jesus, we're going to go sell our boats. We've got some stuff we've got to take care of, and we're going to divide the profits from selling our boats, and we've got to square up some things. If you give us about, 5 to 10 years, we'll be ready to follow you then after we get everything settled. It says they left everything. Their livelihood, all their security, all their comfort, all their safety, everything that they had known, their identity, who they were, they left. Said, man, we're following you. Whatever it is about you, we're following you. I wonder if Jesus didn't want Peter not to remember the denial, but to remember everything, the fearless obedience that led him to be his disciple. I wonder if he didn't want him to remember another set of threes. We all hear about this set of threes, and you know about the set of threes that is the 3 times Peter denied and the 3 times Jesus asked him, do you love him? But there was also another set of threes. And 3 is actually a really interesting number. We're going to get to that in a second. But there was another time where Jesus gave them threes in Matthew chapter 22, 34 through verses 34 through 40. The religious leaders put Jesus to the test. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Y'all see that? Is that 3? Man, 3's in here again. All right. That's the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. On this, the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. I wonder if Jesus really was asking me, or was asking Peter, do you love me with your heart? Peter, do you love me with all your heart? See, he asked him 3 times, but I wonder if it was, Peter, do you love me with all your heart? Peter, do you love me with all your soul? Peter, do you love me with all your mind? Peter, do you love me fully? Because that fearless obedience that was there, that fact that you would leave everything on the shores and come follow me, that at my very word you would let down your nets and catch fish again, that's kind of gone away, Peter. That part of you is missing now. That part of you is missing now. In fact, I told you that 3 is this significant number. Go back to, in your notes, in your Bibles, whatever, John chapter 21, verse 14, and read verse 14 again. How many times is this that that Jesus has appeared to his disciples after the resurrection? 3. Crazy number again, huh? 3 times Jesus has appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Now, a lot of times we skip over this, and I know I'm running late, but man, y'all got just hang with me for a second longer. 3 times. They knew Jesus was who he said he was. They watched him get crucified. They watched them put him in a grave. They watched him walk out of that grave 3 days later, and he's appeared to them 3 times. And where do you find Peter and the disciples? Doing the same thing they've always done. They walked right back to who they used to be instead of stepping in to who God made them. Oh my gosh. What are these fools doing? You just witnessed the resurrection from the dead of your Lord and Savior, and you're back in the dadgum fishing boat. Get out of the boat, man. That's not where you're supposed to be, Peter. You got to remember who I made you to be. I wonder if Jesus didn't have so much more in mind. Peter, do you love me with all your heart? Peter, do you love me with all your soul? Peter, do you love me with everything you have? If so, then Peter, feed my sheep and love your neighbor like you love yourself. It's interesting that there's a lot of these verses that tie together. Because how do we feed his sheep? Well, we feed his sheep by loving them like we would love ourselves. We feed his sheep by taking care of them like we would take care of ourselves. We feed his sheep by telling them the good news that there's a God in heaven who loved me, who took my sins, who changed my everything. Because Jesus changes everything. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, I need you to remember who you are. But really, as I read this, it's not, hey, Peter. It's, hey, John. Hey, you. You got to remember who I made you to be. You got to stop going back to who you used to be and start living the life that I made you to live. I think Christians, church, it's time. It's time we stop living the lives we used to live. We stop going back to who we used to be. We stop letting our past mistakes, failures, and faults define us, and we start stepping into the future that God's created for us to live. It's time, church. It's time to stop being petty and bitter about stupid stuff that happened to you in the past and you letting that affect your relationship with Christ now. It's time we stop going back and running back and saying, yeah, but I've got to hold on to this. No, we've got to let go of that, because when he changed you, you left everything on the shore and your identity is now something new. It's time, Christians, to stop playing games with God and start wholeheartedly following him and not just saying, well, listen, I blew it 3 times, so I have to make up for it 3 times. That's not what he wants. What he wants is for you to say, hey, listen, I love you wholeheartedly with everything I have, all that's in me, it's yours. And so whatever you want me to do, that fearless obedience that I once had for you, I'm bringing it back. Because where a lot of us are is this: we had that fearless obedience, that passion that drove us once, but we messed up. We blew it. We failed. And so now everything goes back to that. And the reason we can't do anything for the cause of Christ, we can't be obedient, is because of that one time. But I think what Jesus is telling Peter and all of us, go back. Go back before that. Go back before your failure. Go back before that mess up. Go back before that mistake. Go back to when you were introduced to me. And you recklessly and fearlessly followed me because you knew there was something different. Amen. Church, it's time. It's time to stop living, going back to who we were, and go forward into who God has called you to be. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for these people. I thank you for these individuals. And God, I thank you for the story of Peter. God, I have no clue what you want to do during this time of invitation and worship. But Father, you do. So my prayer is this. God, for the Christian that's here today, that God, they're defined simply either by mistakes, by limitations. God, or they're just going back to their old life over and over and over again. Father, that you would challenge them through your word at this time to step into the life that you've created them to live. A new life with a new identity. Not going back to the same old thing. Father, for the one in this room who just needs to give in and wholeheartedly follow you. God, I pray that you would make that commitment in their life today. Father, whatever decision you're laying on our hearts, I pray that we would be obedient to you during this time. Father, if someone needs to come and pray, that they would come and pray. If they need to stand where they are and sing praises to you, God, if they need to join this church, if they need to get saved, if they need to be baptized, whatever it is that they need to do, God, I pray that your spirit would work in our lives today, that we would walk out of this place differently, and we would not walk back to who we were ever again. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.